So I've got a question to start out this morning. So how many of you have ever heard someone talking about Christianity and say something kind of along the lines of, it's not a religion, it's a relationship? Okay. Have any of you heard that? Okay, some of y'all must live in some kind of like, you know, hermetically sealed Catholic environment, right? How can you possibly live in South Carolina and not heard that? Okay, that's cool, that's fine, right? Well, I think that there are many Christians who, when they say that, it tends to be in the context of a whole, I don't know, nervousness about what we as Catholics know as sacraments and sacramentals and blessings and processions and going to Mass and all of these things, right? Sometimes people say, well, you know, all of that is just made up, man-made religion, right? And it's a distraction from the simple fact that all you have to do is believe on the name of Jesus and you will be saved, right? And then poorly formed Catholics, right, they'll hear this and they're like, well, I don't know, maybe that's right. I mean, you know, shouldn't we have a relationship with God? You know, I mean, all these traditions that we have, I mean, you know, really, what's the point of all of it, especially if we don't have a relationship with God, right? And then you have some Catholics who they hear that, right, and their defense hackles go up, right? They're like, wait, what are you saying? So you're attacking my people. You cannot attack my people. And so you know what? I'm hearing that and I'm going to Catholic even harder, right? Get out your rosary beads, my friends, because we're going on a procession, right? Well, remember that one of the most beautiful things of our Catholic faith is that it's not an either or, but it's both and. It is religion, pure and undefiled, right? But it is in the context of a relationship with our loving Father in heaven, that we can have that relationship because of what our Lord Jesus Christ does for us in the Holy Spirit on the cross and in the tomb risen from the dead, right? It is both. Right? Now, you may be sitting there and thinking, well, Father, you say that, but where are you getting all this from, right? Well, remember that religion comes from the Latin rilegare, right? To bind, to tie is ligare, and re, of course, means again, right? Because we need to be bound, we need to be tied to God again, over and over again, because it's so easy for us to kind of just float off into outer space when it comes to the things of God, right? It's easy for us to have this forgetfulness of God. And so we need to be re-legatus, right? We need to be re-tied, rebound to God, right? And religion is a natural virtue, first of all, right? Think about how the very fact that God exists demands some kind of response, some kind of acknowledgement. And so in all kinds of religions throughout the world, there's these grains of truth. They may not be the fullness of truth, right? We know we have that in our Catholic faith, right? But there's something in man which wants to tend towards eternity, tends toward the sacred, tend towards something beyond ourselves. And we seek out these rituals and rites and ceremonies and all of those kind of things, right? And there's different versions of all of those, right? That is the natural virtue of religion. And we remember that Jesus says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, right? He comes not to abolish religion, but to manifest its true and inner meaning, right? And that is the beauty of our Catholic faith. And again, how do we know that this is true? Well, I think that today's feast gives us the clue to understanding this, right? Today is the feast of the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, and the purification of the Blessed Virgin. The purification of the Blessed Virgin. I want you to think about that for a second. As Catholics, we know that it is a divinely revealed dogma of the faith that from the first moment of her existence, Our Lady was preserved from the stain of original sin, because God from all eternity knew that she was going to say yes to the plan of God, right? And God cannot enter the world through a filthy, dirty vessel. And so he cleanses that vessel from the very beginning in anticipation of Mary's yes, her fiat, right? And so Mary very easily, could have chosen a different path, She could have said, when she had Jesus, well, you know what? Soon enough, Catholics are going to be singing Immaculate Mary all the time in my honor and in my name. And so what do I need to go through all this for? I am the sinless one. I am the Immaculate Conception. Why do I need to go through a purification ritual? That's silly. But is that what the Blessed Mother did? No. In obedience to the Mosaic law revealed by God in the book of Leviticus, she goes to the temple with Joseph to offer Jesus. And what a tremendously beautiful gift, because it is a reminder that all life ultimately comes from God and we are destined to return to Him, What an incredible pro-life message, that act of offering to the Father in the temple, With those beautiful signs and symbols of the turtle doves, So Our Lady herself, the Immaculate Mother of God, herself performs an act of the virtue of religion, And you may think, okay, well, Mary, she's different, she's special, so that's different. But think about our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he goes to the Jordan River, and he meets his cousin John the Baptist, what's happening there, Remember that John the Baptist is preaching the good news of repentance, and calling people to this purification ritual with water, Now, that's not something that he invented. There are purification rituals with water in all kinds of different religions, You find them in Islam, you find them in Buddhism, you find them in Sikhism, you find them in all kinds of different things, In Hinduism, it's a very common thing in world religions, But of course, the problem was that that symbol of washing was a sign and a symbol pointing to the fact that people knew that they needed to be cleansed, they needed to be purified, And praying that God might look upon that desire of the human heart and make something happen. But the water couldn't do anything other than point to something else, the action of God, Jesus, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, steps into the Jordan River and he does something incredible. He then makes the waters of baptism different forever, Because from that moment forward, those waters actually bring about what is signified. They make, with saving faith, a person a child of God and an heir to heaven. Jesus, in humility, submitted to an act of the virtue of religion that wasn't even commanded by Moses in the Mosaic Law of the Old Testament. But he does, to unite his word with all of those acts of the virtue of religion and elevates them into something more wonderful and amazing than anything that man could dream of. And our Catholic faith is this inexhaustible treasure trove of riches, in which the doors of mercy are opened to us in those ways which God knows that we need the most, And so we take advantage of these things, And we learn why we do these things, And God comes to encounter us in them. Again, what a tremendously beautiful gift. And we know that the doors of mercy are opened us through these things, because there are these two other figures that are mentioned in today's gospel, right? Simeon and Anna. They're old, right? They're old. They've been around for a long time. They've seen a lot of things. They've heard a lot of things. They've seen the brokenness of the world all around them, and they have this yearning for the coming of the Messiah. And so instead of just having this yearning somewhere in their heart that they didn't know what to do with and was very perplexing and very difficult, they go to the temple, to the place of sacrifice, right? To a place where all they did was pray. And so often we can look at Simeon and Anna and think, well, that's a boring life, isn't it? All you did for years was just sit around and pray all day long. Can you imagine if we had people who did that in our churches, right? We'd kick them out at the end of the day. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We got to lock the church, right? How sad is that when you really think about it? Simeon and Anna spent their lives worshiping God, right? They spent their lives in this act of contemplative prayer. And so often we can look at Simeon and Anna and say, oh, what a waste of a life, right? You should have been like out doing stuff, right? You know, why couldn't you like be out there making the world a better place, right? Or doing something useful with your time rather than just sitting around the temple all day long, right? So many of us have this temptation to look at Simeon and Anna like that. But I want you to see what happens with Simeon and Anna. After persevering in prayer for so long, for so many years, right? Giving their broken and wounded hearts over to God in hope, then all of a sudden they see the face of God on the face of a little baby boy that is presented in obedience to the virtue of religion in the temple, right? And Simeon, seeing this, he knows exactly what is happening as soon as he sees this child. Lord, let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. I've seen the Lord. How often do we let the world distract us by so many things? And they may be things that in and of themselves aren't bad or evil. They can be good things, but we exaggerate their importance, right? We think about this worldly things and we don't pray. Or we think, okay, well, maybe when I'm retired, I can be like Simeon and Anna and spend a bunch of time in the Adoration Chapel, right? But, you know, I have work, I have children, I have all these things. Nobody's got time for all of that. And Simeon and Anna are the example that prefer nothing to the love of Christ, right? Prefer nothing to God. And so because of that, they were able to see the fulfillment of all of their hope. Today, as we celebrate this incredible feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, the purification of Our Lady, and if you can't tell it, I really love this feast, right? The blessing of candles, the procession, the mass, all of these beautiful different themes, okay? I want us to allow ourselves to come into the presence of the Lord, right? Allow ourselves to be loved by God. And to lavish our love on Him with our time, our talent, and our treasure, right? So that the contemplative life of prayer is something which is just a normal part of our lives, right? Because there's so many beautiful and amazing things that God can reveal to us when we stay in that place of prayer, right? Prince of Peace is a beautiful place, right? But you carry the Prince of Peace with you out from this place wherever you go, right? And so building that beautiful foundation of the temple of your soul, right, with prayer, with love, is the way that that light can pierce the darkness of our world.